this morning and said, time to do a podcast. Who shall I interview?
My brother!
Who could you fool into doing it on short notice?
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
Who would not shut up if you just asked them a small question? Jesus, I'm too fooled.
It was more along the lines of, who do I know has an interesting story to tell?
This is a sweet talker.
So what's your version of an adventure?
A holiday with the possibility for things to go wrong.
Okay.
Deliberately things are going to be happening where it can go wrong.
So you're engineering problems.
I'm introducing chaos into life. We're giving it a chance to manifest. Small chances. Not big chances, just small chances. So it's not dangerous. It's just...
chaos.
Chaos is just a nice way to put it.
So the trip that I always think about when I think of you being adventurous is when you went to Morocco. Mostly because when you came back, you had written a letter to me on your notebook.
Yeah.
But maybe you can tell us about the reason why you wrote me a goodbye letter while you were in Morocco.
Well, just in case I died. I mean, it wasn't like we're the bravest people. Just in case, we're going to try this. It'll probably be fine. But just in case, maybe we were being a bit melodramatic.
So tell us about the situation and the scenario.
Well,
what you were doing.
Well, it was like a February holiday and we were a bit tired of just sitting doing university work. So we looked at where we could get cheap flights to go somewhere. And we found good tickets to get to Morocco in February. So we just booked two tickets from Fez, like from Eindhoven to Fez, because I was studying in Holland at the time. And then landed in Fez. And then we were taking trains and buses around Morocco. And then slowly by slowly, we were just doing like a loop of Morocco. And then we eventually ended up in Marrakesh. Which was probably the nicest city that we visited in Morocco. And we had rented bicycles one day and we were bicycling around the city, outside the city. And then we looked at the horizon. You could just see some mountains in the far distance, not too far, but you could see those mountains and tops there. And like, this was a holiday. We've got nothing planned. So we're just like, let's go and try and climb that. Like, we don't have anything else to do. We might as well try and climb that. It looks like we can walk it. So then we found a bus. So we pointed. We said, we want to go over there. The bus took us there. It took us to the foot of the mountain. They said, no, from here, the bus stops. You have to find another way to get to the next village. And then we got in a small kind of a car, took that car to the village at the base of the mountain. And then we were walking around this little village. We asked people if there was anyone who knew the way up to the top. And then there was one old guy who said he was a mountain guide. We talked around a little bit. Like, he was in a mountaineering shop, so it wasn't like he had all the equipment and he had everything there, pictures from the top. So it was legit. So he said, okay, how much will you take us up to the top then? Because we've got nothing to do. And then he says, yeah, sure, why not? You're going to need crampons. And they're like, well, what's a crampon? Like, I've got no cramp. He said, no, because there's ice at the top. He's like, what do you mean there's ice? He's like, yeah, there's ice. He's like, okay, give us the crampons then. So he gave us some crampons, an ice axe.
Ice pick.
Yeah, and all the kind of equipment. And then he says, okay, then we'll start walking soon. So we had our bags, we had everything on our backs. So we just started walking behind him, and it probably took us 4 or 5 hours. We got to the base camp. And then we showed up there and we had like nothing. Like we were in jeans and we're just completely unprepared. And everyone at the, like there is a nice, we've been walking for hours and hours, and that's not a problem. We can walk for a long time. But then you get to the top and there's a cabin at the top. So we've walked from the village up to a cabin that's kind of the base camp for summiting the mountain. I mean, it's not so far, but you need to, you stay the night in that house before you go to the top, before you try and summit in the morning. Because you want to go up in the morning so you can see the sunrise. And everyone else in that house was like very prepared. Like it was crazy. There was like Australians there, English people there, and everyone, there was like, and Danish people, and there was maybe like 5 different groups that were all staying in this kind of, you nearly call it a hostel. And they were like, they were geared up to the teeth. Like they had the crampons, they had snow boots, they had proper winter jackets. Like they had everything. One guy for dinner, he was like measuring his, how much oxygen was in his blood. And we're like, what, why are you doing that? He's like, because you could die if you don't have enough oxygen in your blood. And we're like, can you just check what we have, please? Because they were like spending time, like 2-3 days in this one building to acclimatize kind of to the altitude. And they said, oh, you guys came straight from Marrakesh to here today. That's crazy dangerous. Even that high difference, you could go like, you could have aneurysms and you could get, it's really dangerous. And you're like, shit, why didn't anyone tell us this?
Whoops.
But anyway, we're like, but we're fine. We feel fine. Everything's okay. And then that, and we didn't even have sleeping bags. Like everyone there had sleeping bags. And we're like, what are we going to do? It's fucking freezing. And we don't even have sleeping bags. But then luckily this hostel thing, they had like camel blankets. So like they'd taken the wool off camels and made blankets out of them. And they were so warm. So like it was really comfy. There was like bunk beds. And we're sleeping on the top bunk bed, just covered like 5 of these camel blankets. It was really nice. And then they told us, so all the group leaders, like every group had like a guide. And they told us be up at 3 o'clock because we're going to have a discussion at 3 o'clock if we're going to go for it, if we're not going to go for it, and see what's what. And we're like, okay, 3 o'clock. We put on our alarms. And then 3 o'clock comes, we put on the, we check our watches, switch off our alarms, and we go to the dining room area where we're supposed to meet. And there's nobody there. And you're like, what's wrong? Like, you don't understand. And apparently, like, we hadn't changed our clocks from Dutch time to, so we were an hour late. We'd missed the meeting and overslept by an hour. And then during the night, there'd been such a bad snowstorm that when they got up, they'd all decided that they're not going to do it. And we're just like at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, but we didn't, like, nobody woke us up. We don't know. But then our guide woke up and he told us, no, we go. And then we're like,
so he was late as well?
No, he was there, but he just thought they were all chicken. So like, so slowly we were packing our things up, and then other people were waking up at around 5-ish. And then the other group started coming up to talk with us and saying, are you guys going? And we're like, yeah, like our guide said it's fine, we should try. And then they were like, they were really starting to doubt whether they should try to go up or not, like the other guests. because we were going up and we were the least prepared. And our guide was the oldest guy there. Like all the other guides were in like 35, like 40 years old. Our guide was like 60. And he was like, no, it's fine. These young guns don't know what they're doing. They're just lazy. They just don't want to get up in the cold. And we were like, okay, I guess so. So we were like trying to figure out what was right. And they were like, okay, fuck it. At the end of the day, if the guide says it was fine, then maybe it's fine. Let's just try it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? So then we're like, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, yeah, we could die. Oh, okay. And then the other guides, they saw that we had started talking with the other guests. So we got two of the experienced guides. They came up to me in order. They separated us from their guests and they say,
yeah,
you two are crazy. If you want to go up, you two can go up with your guide, but don't talk to our clients and get stupid ideas in their heads. And then they started going on about how they'd climbed Mount Everest 5 times and this was not the right weather to do things like that. Then our guide came over and said, told them to shut up and go away. And then we got ready to go, kind of, and we're like, write the notes, because now we're like seriously doubting, but we're like, fuck it. What, like, and then I'm not actually that happy with heights and being on the side of mountains in snowstorms, so we wrote our notes and left
them. So you wrote one to me, one to mom and dad.
Yeah, so we wrote our notes, put them in the bags, and then we said, okay, if we die, someone will go through our bags, hopefully, and see that we've written notes.
Yeah.
And we wrote the addresses and stuff on them, just in case.
Yeah.
And then we just started trying to walk up. And then at first, like, it was snowing. It was seriously snowing. It probably got like a meter of snow during the few hours that we were asleep. And then we kept walking up. It was like a 50 degree angle walking straight up in the dark. Some people did say goodbye as we went and they like looked at us like, oh, you guys are crazy because of the Australians. And you guys are crazy. Good luck, mate. And then you're like, thanks. See, I guess. And then we started walking up this hill or mountain, and the idea was to get to the top. And yeah, and so the idea was, so he had explained kind of what the trip was like. There's going to be a really steep uphill, like, no shit, it's a mountain. And then at the top of that uphill, it was going to level out onto this kind of plains valley area. You'd walk through the valley and then there would be another uphill and then you'd be on the summit. So then we started climbing up this hill, the mountain, and there was snow up to my knees. I was wearing jeans and my crampons. I'd worn all the clothes underneath that we had. So my shorts were on underneath, my long johns were on underneath, but jeans on top. So we're going through the snow with jeans and like jacket, like just a wool jacket kind of thing. And so we're going to try and climb up this hill. And the wind was literally trying to rip us off the mountain. And it was so steep, but the wind would come in bursts. So in the beginning, the first hour was fine. I can't remember exactly how long we were hiking up, but you would walk in zigzags going up the mountain, and that was fine. And then at some point when the wind started to get stronger, as soon as there was a wind burst, you'd have to hunker down and you'd put your ice hack as like an anchor in the snow. And then you'd feel the wind would like abate and you could walk another few steps. So you'd hunker down, wait a little bit, and then it would die out, and then we'd walk a little bit more. And then the wind would come again. As soon as you felt it, you would bunker down again. And that went on for like an hour. And each time we would take another few steps, we're getting closer and closer to the lip to get to this plateau. And we looked up and we're maybe like 50 meters to get over the lip of the plateau. And the wind was so strong and it was snowing. And you could see like a whirlwind of snow above you coming, like pushing right off that plateau, off the mountain kind of thing. So you knew that if you stuck your head up over that plateau, you'd be blown off the mountain. And
that must have been scary.
Yeah, I was getting, it was injecting enough chaos. And we had made the decision when we were down below, saying if any of us feel really uncomfortable, just say so. And the person who's the least comfortable decides when we go down, not the one who's the most stupid. The one who's the least stupid gets to decide. And I mean, we were like 50 meters from that first lip and we couldn't walk more than like 3-4 steps between each burst of wind at this point. Most of it was just hunkering down in the snow now and like inching forward, hunker down, inch forward, hunker down, inch forward. And then I was like, no, we're not gonna make it. It's too much. Like, I'm about to shit my pants and it will freeze there. And then like, it's not gonna be good. So I called for the two guys, they were just ahead. And I said, no, I think I'm done. Like, let's go down because it's too much. And so they agreed, like, thank God. But like, I don't know what I would have done. But the thing is, we couldn't walk any further because we're going to get pushed off. There's literally no way to walk. Quite nearly.
So you climbed up and there's just white. So even if you got to the top, you wouldn't really have been able to see anything, would you?
No, you wouldn't have been able to see anything, but you would have been on the top. You know? So
is it good enough that you know you're about 3 meters away or however far away you were?
No, it sucks because we didn't get to where we wanted to go. Even though we had only we'd been planning this for a grand 2 days, you know? And the other guys down there that were huddled around the fire, they'd been planning it for months, like literally for months. And we've been planning it for 2 days. But I think it was some kind of ego inside just saying, get to the top, get to the top. As well as a 60-year-old man saying, get to the top. But then at that point, we decided, like, I didn't feel bad after. And then we walked down and it was reasonably okay to get down. Because we had the crampons and stuff. We got down, got back down to the hostel, the cabin kind of thing. And my jeans had like frozen solid. Like there was one spot at the knee where they hinged. But otherwise you could knock on them. They were so frozen through. And I had like with the crampons, I cut my leg and it was so cold I couldn't feel it. I didn't cut it deeply, but like I must have knocked my one leg. Like as I was stepping, I'd hit one knee or one calf with my leg. So I was cut up a little bit on my feet as well. So then we got down to the cabin. He got met by all the people down there. They were like, okay, well done for trying. Yeah, you two. I've got the biggest balls of all of us here, at least, because nobody else tried that day. And so, I mean, we felt good about that. And then when we were in the cabin, the guide was saying, I was literally going to take 3 more meters and I was going to tell you guys to stop. So at least my threshold was about the same as the guide's threshold. I think Otto would have...
Makes you feel a bit better.
A little bit better, because, yeah, I didn't feel like I was such a chicken then. Someone who knew what they were doing was equally scared as I was. But maybe that's a thing. If you don't know, you're not going to be as scared because you don't know what you're getting into. I think if Otto was left to it, he would have kept going and he would have been... Like, I saved his life that day, probably.
Does he feel the same way?
I don't know. I'm not gonna ask, but like, I'm sure he was close to feeling enough. I mean, he's so tall, he would have just fallen off. Like, he's a big sail. So yeah, then we got off the mountain. We went back down to Marrakesh. Lots of blisters, because we had gone up with running shoes, so even our boots had been hired. We weren't wearing our own boots walking up that, and they were hiking in like these ankle boots but with like tennis socks, so I was chafed, like the legs were chafed and raw red. So we went back, licked our wounds kind of thing, and then we found a group of Chilean guys who were gonna go to the desert. So we all jumped into, we were six of us, we jumped into a taxi with five seats plus the driver, so there's seven of us in the car, two in the front on one chair, four in the back. Is these Chilean guys that we'd never met before, and they were like, "You want to go and hang out in the desert?" So then we went to the desert with them. And then we camped out in the desert for a night. And then we made our way back to Fez eventually. And then flew back to Holland. Back to school.
So did you at any time feel scared? Besides when you were climbing up the mountain, but, you know, going to the desert with strangers, were you scared at any point?
No, not really. Not at all. I mean, they were young guys as well, just like us. So we were in the same situation. They had been friends for a while. We had been friends for a while. And then we just ended up, we were going the same way. So we decided, let's just go together. They didn't seem like psychopaths. Yeah. Like, they were a lot of fun. And they had Bluetooth speakers so we could listen to music. So...
Your entry requirements for making friends is very low.
Yeah. If you have music, well, we can hang. And so they showed us like new Chilean music. We showed them some Swedish music, some Kenyan music. And like, so you had something to share. I think I've still got some of them on Instagram and on Facebook. That's fun. If we ever go to Chile, you could write to them and say, "Hey, you want to listen to some music?" I've got Bluetooth speakers now too.
Where do you think you did get your sense of travel from? Like, sense wanting to travel.
Oh.
Not sense, but your drive. Like, your drive to travel and see new places.
I don't know. It's just been, if it's been available, if it's an option, it's something I'll do. I've been trying to think more recently. I've been thinking, if you're not happy at home, you're not going to be happy traveling, you know?
Yeah.
So there's kind of, I want to get away from just thinking that, oh, you have to travel to enjoy life and be interesting and stuff. Cause that limits it in a different way. If you can only be exciting because you're traveling, then you're also kind of limited. I mean, of course, it's fun to travel, but it can't be your be all end all. Because if it is, you're going to be sad. Because you can't travel all the time. You also have to work. And it's much more interesting to enjoy your work than it would be to just enjoy traveling.
How would you describe yourself to a total stranger?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. Like, why would I? What's the need to explain yourself to a total stranger? I'll just say, hi, I'm Martin. That's literally like, what else? Anything else would be super weird. It's like,
so no other information is needed. Just, hi, I'm Martin. That should tell you everything.
Yeah, but like, it depends where you meet, isn't it? If you meet someone at like an Alcoholics Anonymous, Anonymous, yeah. There's a reason to talk with them, and you're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
If you meet somebody at a sporting event, like, they don't want to hear your life story, you know? Like, imagine someone just came up, hi, I'm X and X, and then they start telling you every single thing, like, unasked for. They just start blurting out their life. It's like, let me die. Like, keep that shit to yourself. I did not ask you that. No, like, I'll talk to people, and if I really want them to know, like, at most I'd say that, I'll be generous and not just give you a dick answer. Like, I would say maybe at most that I live where I live, where I come from, maybe. And then I'll try and ask them questions. People don't want to hear, they want to talk. I mean, obviously, it's way better to ask people questions than to talk, because no one wants to listen. So let people talk. Like what you're doing. Are you going to say some kind of goodbye outro?
I don't know yet.
So I guess in the outro, when you've let me go, you could just record something like, welcome, blah, 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 blah. Today we talked about this, this, and this. and then you've got a spot there where you can do plugs. Like, you can have like advertisements eventually that you could read up. In. No, you just make some up for now so that people get a feel for what it would be like.
Okay.
So you just make up some products.
What's my first fake advertising going to be about, Martin?
Anal bleach. Anal bleach.
No, please, for the love of God, choose something else.
I mean, okay. I don't know.
Maybe something that you would buy.
No, it's supposed to be funny then. Like foot soles, insoles for your shoes.
Foot soles?
Insoles.
Foot soles. Buy new skin for your feet.
Yeah. So you just write like a 200 word or 100 word like commercial that you kind of just fake and you put it in there. And it's like, and if you want to listen to something that's more realistic and you want to be like, you know, the billboards at airports and stuff, you want to be seen here instead of this shit. And then they send you their products instead. Or you just start.
If you would like to be beside the advert for anal bleach.
Yeah. No, it's instead of.
Instead of anal bleach.
It's like, your mom's anal bleach, now available in shops close to your mom, kind of thing. And you can like smack talk specific people and say, no, but we're just joking. But if you want me to stop, I mean, it's a bit like...
pay me.
Yeah, pay me and I'll stop talking smack about you. Okay, you're going to have to do some kind of proper goodbyes because I'm just hanging here. I don't know if I'm supposed to hang up, or are you going to hang up? Like, what's happening? What's the deal?
Let's just hang up on the count of three.
Like,
oh no, wait, I've got an end meeting for all. I can just end it.
Wait, you can do like what the Irish people do when they say goodbye.
What do they do when they say goodbye?
Like, they say goodbye like 15 times. So if I'm saying bye, and then you don't actually say good, like, you're not supposed to end the meeting there. You're supposed to do it for like 30 seconds. Like, you're saying bye, I'm saying bye. You'll say goodbye, I say bye. You know we take turns, but it's for like 30 seconds until you just like, you're fed up and then you put off. Bye.
Okay, so it's probably been about 30 seconds now since he started saying bye. So bye, can I just end it now?
Bye.
Bye, bye,
bye.
Bye,
bye, bye.
Bye. Bye,
bye, bye. Bye, bye. 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 Bye.